Welcome to the Smarter Building Materials Marketing Podcast, helping you find better ways to grow leads, sales, and outperform your competition.
All right, everyone, welcome to Smarter Building Materials Marketing, where we believe your online presence should be your best salesperson. I am Zach Williams alongside Beth Popnikolov, and we're talking about IBS 2024. Specifically, what are our big takeaways? Who did well? Who do we think didn't do well? And what you should be thinking about heading into this next year. And to join us, we've got Steve Coffey and Deanna Murphy on our team. They went to the show with us as well. They spent the whole time with us. So want to hear their viewpoints as well. So Steve, Deanna, this is not your first time, but welcome to the show as well.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Excited to be here.
Great. So let's kick things off. I want to hear what everybody thinks. Like when you think about IBS 2024, what's the first word that you think about? When I said, hey, how was the show?
Crowded.
Busy.
Big.
Was there any preliminary data around how many people went to the show?
100,000 people. Over 2,000 exhibitors, 100,000 people. If we could get hard numbers for this, that would be great. But those were the projections. It was absolutely slammed.
It was slammed and it felt like it was somehow bigger. And maybe it was just our schedule. I felt like we were constantly running from east to west to north, back to south. It felt like a much bigger show than it did last year.
I would agree because there was talk of having so many more people. It's basically double from last year. I think the best numbers I saw from last year afterwards were around 60,000. So it's roughly double. Last year, I vividly remember being like shoulder to shoulder, squeezing through the exhibit halls. And that didn't happen this year. It was much more expansive. Every booth you walked past almost consistently had a significant amount of people in it. On top of big, I would say excitement. It was really just exciting and like charged with energy. Everyone was at a 10 out of 10, right? Everyone was like, it's great conversations. It's tons of really good potential deals on the table getting discussed in the booth, tons of excitement about the products that are there, about the customers that they're talking to. I don't think I talked to anybody that was like, meh, we don't know if we'll come next year. Everyone I talked to was like, we need a bigger booth next year. We need to promote it better next year. They were scrambling to get their nurture campaigns in order sometimes because they got so many leads. I think it was very, very successful this year.
I was just going to add, so I found the NAHB put out an article on Thursday evening that said that there were approximately 76,000 actual attendees. So not just registered guests, but people who actually came. There were 1,800 exhibitors, including 800 new exhibitors. I walked into a lot of companies that I'd never heard of, never had seen before. But that attendance did set a record since 2009, which is pretty significant. Over 100 countries represented as well.
Oh, that's really cool.
Steve, who was your favorite booth?
My first stop is always the Kohler booth, just because I want to see what snacks they have and what drinks they had. They had two espresso bars this year, and it was incredible. So I was standing there, I think on Wednesday, and I was looking at one of the bathtubs, which was an infinity bathtub, which was really, really cool looking. Actually, it was very beautiful. And then just people started to crowd me, and they were just crowding me. And then it got really super crowded, and I was like, okay, somebody's coming along. Shay McGee comes up and starts to speak. So it was really cool to see that. And so it was a super crowded booth. I really liked the way that they displayed their products. I always just enjoy how Kohler does that. I walked in the Closet Made booth, and within 5 minutes, I had designed my ultimate closet. It's not that I talked to a sales rep and then they convinced me of something and things like that. I walked in and they had a screen. I went tap, tap, tap. And before I knew it, I was looking at my closet that I would definitely want. So it was very interactive. I didn't feel like I was, you know, someone immediately approached me and things like that. I could walk through and experience it myself at my own pace. So within 5 minutes, I had what I wanted out of that booth. And it was beautifully designed. It was very high design and things like that. So I loved that booth as well. Cambria had a beautiful booth, just in the way that they displayed it and the way that it looked inside. For me, the most interesting thing about the show was the level of conversation. It seemed like builders were asking questions about how can you solve my problems? Like, how can you as a company help me solve my company's problems? It wasn't just product centric, right? There were, you know, product conversations, but it was mostly like, hey, what new features do you have as a company to help my business thrive? I've got a lot of problems. If I'm a multifamily builder and I've got a couple projects where the rent in rural North Carolina is going to be $3,000 a month, that's a lot for my renters. So how can I make this building more attractive to people at those rent prices, right? The same with custom homes, et cetera. So what features does this closet system give to my potential renters? So the level of conversation was much deeper than in previous years at IBS. It illustrates the need for manufacturers to connect with builders in ways that solves problems, not just presents a product. You're helping the business. You're having a greater level of connection with that builder, which builders are going to have when they go home and they get on the digital presence and they start to look at articles and start to determine how successfully a manufacturer does that.
What about you, Deanna?
So I liked a lot of the booths at IBS. One thing that I thought a lot about while I was there is the difference between the experiential side of marketing and the value prop side. So you could see different booths lean into different philosophies. But one of the things that I liked the best was when the booths remembered that we're all human and that we're all on our feet for 16 hours a day and we all probably need a bottle of water. And the booths that thought about that and incorporated that into their design, a couple that I really liked, Beth mentioned they had this booth last year, but Typar. So everybody knows that Typar sells house wrap. Their booth didn't really talk that much about house wrap. They had a little bit of house wrap in the back. They had a little bit of house wrap up against the bar of their booth, but then their whole rest of the booth, it was just seating. And it was like, hey, you're at a trade show. You know, we sell house wrap. If you need to come sit down and have a bottle of water, come sit down and have a bottle of water. I think for a lot of show attendees, that probably made a lot more impact than us having to have a conversation about vapor barriers and moisture intrusion. I think Millboards did a really good job of showing their product, which their product is beautiful. So it was a pleasure to engage with it. And they leaned into that. So they had a really beautiful booth, but they had it sectioned off where you could have different conversations. You could see different products. And then on the backside of it, they had those espresso machine inviting you to sit down, inviting you to take a moment. I even had an instance where I was having a conversation with someone and BFS actually had tables out. And the guy was like, yeah, I've had a couple conversations here. Like BFS doesn't mind. They invited us to like use their booth. So this was not a BFS employee. BFS offered us water while we were there. So any booth I felt like that leaned into the experience of the trade show and like the human beings that were there and that just weren't pushing their product the whole time, they got gold stars in my opinion. I also really liked the booths that you got to touch and engage with things. So Beth, you and I went to Sherwin-Williams, and Sherwin-Williams had this large design table. It almost felt like an arts and crafts table where they had all these different textures and they had all these different finishes and they had all these different metals, and you could make different combinations along with the Sherwin-Williams paint samples to create like a vignette that you could take a picture of or work on in their booth. I thought that was really cool.
I think that's true. There's a brand that somehow, Zach, you and I always wind up in this booth, and it's Kessenbomer Storage. It's just closet systems, and they're so amazing, and you can't help but interact with them. So you've got to open a door. They make it so easy just to walk into the booth, open a door, and then pull out this closet. It's an amazing system. I like that when they invite you into the booth, and Rockwool did a really good job of that as well. Like you could go in, you could feel it and touch it and see it in the wall. They had a couple different sections. And then they had this section in the booth where you could walk in different stages of the project. So after it was finished, and then when it was just being constructed, when it was just being laid out, it was really interesting. So they invited you into that process and you could touch it, you could experience it.
I actually took a video of a company that was doing that really well, Steve. There's this company, I'm saying their name is Facro. It's like Attic Stairs and Skylights. And they had all of their products facing out into the aisle, which was so smart because their products, they just ask to be touched because it's like accordion stairs and things like that, that are just very easily interacted with and very aesthetically different than everything else around them because their accordion stairs are like oval shape. There's something about it that you're like, I need to touch these oval stairs because this is just very weird. That's not the shape of stairs. And I did a contrast between what was happening in their booth. They were causing a literal traffic jam because everyone was stopping, touching, pulling, and it got worse as one person touched one of their products, like somebody would scoot around them and go touch the next and the next. And then, so then their sales team like flocked to them like flies. And then if you go to the other side, there was a siding company whose products were arguably more beautiful, but because of the way their booth was laid out, it was very closed off. And so their booth was almost empty. And not that there's anything wrong with their product or even their booth design. Once you got in there, you could really experience it. But it was that interactive element that was making this huge difference for a company that is a reasonably sized name, but they're not the Kleenex, but they were drawing huge, huge attention because of that interactive element. And for me, I thought that was something that you could tell the difference from a booth design standpoint and the impact that you were creating, not just for them, but across the show. What people were going to walk away from. You're going to remember touching oval-shaped accordion stairs more than you're going to remember what was that one siding company versus many other siding companies, even though their products were really beautiful.
You know who else did that really well was Masonite, like the way that their booth had all the doors kind of positioned. Now, I wanted to swing the door, but I'm like, okay, I understand why you don't want me to move this door. But it was smart how they had a tactile approach to their booth where it was all lined with doors at an angle. My favorite booth was, and this company actually, they went viral on Instagram. It's a company called Cold Fusion. It's spelled Q-O-L-D. And you like walk into this fridge and the fridge is like a destination. It's basically like, you know, when you go to like a gas station and like the beer is like in a refrigerator that you walk into. Imagine that, but like very cool. That is their booth. So they've got it like lined with San Pellegrino and all kinds of stuff. It looks really nice.
I have one thing I want to mention because I think it's so controversial. And I need to preface this by saying I get no pleasure in championing the largest brands because it's like saying we think Kohler won KBIS. Of course they did. They have a $9 million booth. It's like not fair, even though they did. And that infinity pool literally brought my brain just to a complete stop. I had nothing wise or like interesting or strategic to say when I got there. I was just like, I need that. That being said, when large organizations do something that is countercultural, I think it is very much worth celebrating because that's very difficult. My preamble is now done. Let me tell you. Georgia Pacific's booth. Do you know how many products they had in their booth? Two. Technically, I would say it's like 1.25 because like 95% of it was literally one product. And then there was like this other corner that had another product. They have thousands of SKUs. I talked to one of the sales guys in the booth and my conversation with him was, how were you able to arrive at this tight and restrained of a booth? Because not only was it two products, their messaging was extremely clear. It was like one panel, two applications. Here's a, like it can go on your roof or it can go on walls. Here's a picture of it on a roof. Here's a picture of it on a roof and a wall. It was so succinct and memorable. And to your point, Deanna, everybody's going to classes, having thousands of conversations, maybe or maybe not getting scanned or getting cards taken, throwing out all of these ideas. And the temptation is to just lob as much of your information at them as possible and hope some of it sticks. What's actually the most impactful is counterintuitive, and it's what Georgia Pacific did. They were like, we have one thing that we want you to walk away with. And so they just said one thing. I was genuinely blown away to see an organization of their size show up with such restraint and clarity is so, so smart. And I would put very good money on that is how you get ROI. Clarity and simplicity over the big and wow is going to be the thing that is remembered when the rubber meets the road. Because now I need to know that someone's going to show up with a product that's going to solve my problems. That's going to resonate more strongly than what was like really incredibly aesthetically interesting or very like unique from a design standpoint.
One thing that we haven't talked about is the outdoor booths. Did you guys see the outdoor booths? Did you like the outdoor booths?
I always go out and check out the outdoor booths and just do a quick scan. So I do that. This year, I don't know if it was just me. I felt like it was maybe a little bit less than last year. I felt like there were bigger exhibits. I felt like there were more complicated booths last year. So I felt like it was significantly smaller, almost to the point where I didn't feel compelled to stay out there. So I don't know if that was just me or if it was actually significantly smaller.
The interactivity of the outdoor booth. So I toured a lot of the homes. I think that's always really fun for me. That's always a highlight of IBS for me. I loved Boxable. So for those of you who don't know Boxable, they lean into the fact that they just send you a box and this box turns into like a 350 square foot home. So I think their marketing is really cool. I think their branding is really neat. So that was exciting to look at and to see. I also watched Wilson Art drop bowling balls on their countertops. It's so smart. It's something that you can't do on the show floor, but it's something that they did outside. They were taking sledgehammers to like their competitors' products. And so that was really fun. I think they have that outdoor demo space that I think is such a good experience for IBS attendees and adds an additional dimension to it, because we've talked about how forgettable everything is. Like, you have these conversations or you see three different siding companies that you really like. So how do you leave an impression? I think the outdoor spaces give you a little bit more freedom to do more memorable activities.
I know one of the booths outside that was getting a lot of traction and buzz is Pella launched a window product that can be installed from the inside. It definitely hits on the scale of, why didn't that exist before? Why didn't I think of that? It's a $1 million idea. And I think the thing that they did that's really smart is creating a tangible way to literally quantify how much faster it is to install. But they had timed races. And I feel like anything that's gambling or racing, like competitive, really lands well when you're in Vegas. So it wasn't just like giant signs with data points saying like 75% faster, because what does 75% faster mean, right? Like, that's very difficult to internalize. But literally having races, first of all, branded people who have never installed it before, but also just being able to see how quickly it gets installed. I mean, I heard everyone talking about that. When I would walk into a booth, someone would be like, did you see what Pella is doing? That's how you know you're doing something. And with the footprint size of that outdoor booth, it wasn't enormous. To your point, Steve, the outdoor exhibit this year wasn't very big. I do think it's a really great way to get IBS's dollars to promote your products, because they promote the outdoor area in a way that they don't promote the indoor area very specifically or like continually or strategically. So I think the outdoor area is a great way to get big impact with a smaller footprint, but still get a really good foot traffic coming through. Although it's not the cheap ticket, because you have to be able to really stand out there. There's a high level of expectation of like dropping bowling balls on your products, like significant, experiential, memorable moments. You can't just put a house up and be like, look at this, it's outside. It's got to actually be very thoughtful and intentional.
So this is interesting. You mentioned Pella launching this product. I don't know if you remember, but you came up to me during the show and you're like, yeah, Pella has this new product. And I was like, oh yeah, like it's this window that installs from the inside. I don't follow Pella on social, but I do follow Matt Reisinger. So Pella had Matt Reisinger talking about this window that installs from the inside before IBS. So I went into IBS. I didn't even know that I knew that Pella had this new product. But when somebody's like, oh yeah, Pella has this new product, I was like, oh yeah, I know what that new product is, because they timed it so that the influencer was talking to me right before the show that I went to, so that when I arrived, I was like kind of already read in on the buzz.
That's influencer marketing. That is why it works. It makes me want a thing before I know who you are. The people that I want to be like are telling me about the thing that I should want. Steve, you are our sales expert in this moment. If we were a manufacturer, we had a booth, your sales team just spent 3 days definitely scanning badges, getting leads, having conversations. What's next? What would you expect to happen this week?
I would want to work with a marketing team to create a custom place to go. Like, hey, you talked to us at IBS and this is what we were showing. This is what we were talking about. And have a place for them to go and continue the conversation. I wouldn't want them to just go from a conversation that they had with us directly to an email campaign about what we could do for them or send them to our homepage. I'd want to build out a custom landing page that would be very specific to the types of conversations that we had at IBS, which would mean our teams would have to be pretty quick on adjusting that landing page, right, to tailor it to those needs. I'd want it to be very interactive, and I'd want to invite them into a longer conversation, right? I want to invite them into the next step. You talk to, you know, Steve at the show. Here's what we would do next. Let us talk about what did you see from IBS? And then I'd want to have a very precise nurture campaign, marketing campaign that's built over a longer period of time to reconnect with that individual. I'd want to call them. I would want to text them. I would want to email them and continue that conversation long after they've been to that landing page so that they were there on the show. They interacted with us. They have something that they can land on and interact with our company. And then that conversation has just moved right on forward. And I'd also want to tailor it so that when we were talking to them in the booth, I would know what they were interested in, right? If they were interested in this type of a window, I would want to make a note of that in my CRM and then have that tailored follow-up speak about the window, right? That's what they were interested in the booth. So if we tell them something completely different from a sales perspective after the show, it doesn't make sense. I was there, I wanted to hear about the window. So it sparks my mind. So continuing that conversation.
I love that double approach of like, let's continue the conversation and then I'm going to put you into our regular nurture path. So I'm not recreating the wheel, but I'm also not doing a hard left into, and now you're in a nurture campaign. That's very, very smart. Deanna, you're the CMO. What marketing collateral did you have prepared before you went in? And do you think it had to change in order to follow up with the leads?
I think a lot of times we create collateral and we feel like we need to include literally everything that a person needs to know about our product. And it's really tempting and it's really easy to do. And you can create a front and back single page of collateral that's just filled to the brim with text and you can hand that to someone and expect them to take it home. But what collateral really needs to do is it needs to get the user to take just the next step. It doesn't need to get them all the way over the finish line. It needs to get them to the next step in the buyer's journey. So if my team's going to IBS, I'm going to send them with one piece of collateral. It's going to be the collateral that we need to get them right to the middle of the funnel. And I'm going to let our marketing programs take it from there.
So everyone's talking about like, hey, here's our new products. Here's our new technology. One thing that GAF did I thought was really smart was that their photography and how they shot the photography was shot from the perspective of the contractor. So this is going to sound really funny if you don't know what I'm referring to. But if you're a homeowner and you see a guy on your roof, replacing your roof, your vantage point is like from the ground looking up at the contractor. And all of their photography is either looking down on the ground or looking at somebody who's replacing a roof like at eye level. They were saying like this was very, very intentional by us because our audience, aka roofers and builders, that's how they view the product. So when they're targeting homeowners, it's like, hey, we're looking up at somebody doing the roof. When we're advertising to contractors, we're doing it at eye level. And I thought that was like really smart approach because they know their audience so well and they care about them to the extent that they're willing to change the angle on the photography that's shown in a booth just to make sure that people know that they know who they're talking to. Well, awesome. That's a wrap. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show, Steve and Deanna. And for our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, check us out at venvio.com/podcast to subscribe. Until next time, I'm Zach Williams alongside Beth Popnikolov. Thanks, everybody.